Welcome back to our second presentation on consumer credit. And in this presentation, we'll outline some very important topics, including your credit report and the credit bureaus, how your credit score is calculated, and then what happens when things don't go well. Yeah. So let's get started on slide 35. There are three credit bureaus. Some people call them super bureaus, and you've probably heard about these, maybe read about them. Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Now, they all work together. Their computers talk to one another. But if you do not want any credit, or if you already have plenty and don't want to have solicitations coming to you, you can ask to be taken off the mailing list. They certainly don't want you to do it because that's how they make their money. They keep track of you and then sell your information to the banks and the credit unions who then say, I want somebody with high credit or low credit. I'm going to craft a credit card that's going to go after the poor individual slobs who get in trouble and charge them an outrageous amount. Whatever, they know a lot about you. So I said, okay, enough of this. I'll take myself off the credit list and see if it actually works. This was many years ago. It did. Within 3 or 4 weeks, I stopped getting solicitations in the mail because I usually get 2 or 3 a week. They started coming to my wife. Okay, so I took her off, and sure enough, after about 4 weeks or so, they stopped coming. And then one came to my son when he was in third grade, and I thought, oh, this is really good. I'm going to have him fill it out. Can you sign here? No, we haven't learned cursive yet. And I said he made, a certain amount of money, which I could pay him. And if they give him credit, I'm going to go to the newspapers and the television stations and the media outlets. No, they sent back a form letter saying, sorry, once you turn 18, we'll be happy to talk to you. They don't get things wrong often, but given the sheer number of transactions, there's still a lot of problems. So it is in your best interest to check every year your credit report from the three major super bureaus. And there are dozens of websites that try to look like they're free when they really aren't. And the best one is the only one that is truly mandated and is part of the system is called annualcreditreport.com. And even then they're going to try to sign you up for $20 a month or whatever. But so be careful. But you should be able to get your credit report once a year through the three major credit bureaus. So you should do that just to make sure that everything's on the up and up. But it is one company called Fair Isaac, FICO, that actually generates the most important credit scores. There are dozens of credit scores, but the one that the lenders use the most is from Fair Isaac Corporation, FICO. They take the data from Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and their scores range from the upper 300s to the mid 800s. I don't know why they use that. I don't know what their formula is. They won't tell you. But generally, anything over 700 is excellent. 750, you're really good. A few people are going to be in 800, but not too many. Around 600, your credit application is supposed to be manually reviewed by a human, but that doesn't always happen, as we'll see. Often it just gets kicked out. If you're in the 500s or lower, you're considered a high risk. So this is something you want to avoid. How do you avoid this? Pay your bills on time. Finally, for years, Fair Isaac wouldn't say what their method for computing the credit score is. And then finally, they came out and said, oh, all right, your past payment history is the most important thing. Do you make your payments on time, right? That's what, And they also want to know if you are maxed out, which means you've passed 75% of your credit capacity. So for that reason, that's why we recommend you use that $300 limit or $500 limit, just use 30 bucks of it a month, right? Or 50 bucks, and then pay it off immediately. And then, of course, then they'll give you more credit. The length of your credit history, so you don't want to be closing, opening, keep that one credit card, you know, hopefully with your credit union and you're loyal to. If you've opened up too many accounts in a short period of time, they consider that a red flag. So typically you don't want to do that unless you need it, right? And then the types of credit. I would have thought this would be higher. The types of credit is only 10%. Because they love it when you own a home. Boy, do they love you. When you own a home, all of a sudden your score goes up. You are indeed a loyal droogie in the eyes of the benevolent machine. It used to be that if you put somebody on your account as an authorized user, their credit score would rise, but not anymore. They have to be one of the people who they can go after, because they can't go after the authorized user. That's why you want to open up a secured credit card. Use it every month, pay it off in full every month, automatically set up an automatic payment so that your credit score will rise quickly over 6 months to a year. The Fair Credit Reporting Act says your credit report must be accurate. If you are denied credit, you can get an immediate credit report in addition to the free annual one that you can get from each of the three credit bureaus. They must correct information within 30 days. And supposedly only authorized users have access to your report. Now, this is ridiculous. Anybody can access your credit report. All they need is a few pieces of information about you and bingo. So don't believe them when they say, oh, we keep this safe. No, because that's how they make their money. They sell your information. Isn't that great? And they try to charge you to get your information, and that's why you're allowed one free one every year. Adverse data, which is a fancy way of saying you missed a payment, charge off, which is a silly name for they've basically given up. That doesn't mean you still don't owe them money, they're just not going after you. Any judgments against you, say you got a judgment from not paying your rent, that goes on your credit score. And that's 7 years. Bankruptcy is 10 years. So I want you to remember those two numbers, right? 7 years, missed payments, charge-offs, judgments against you in, say, small claims court. 7 years, bankruptcy, 10 years. Okay. Now, to protect yourself, more and more companies are coming up with ways to sell you identity theft services. The best thing that you can do is just shred your stuff, right? Don't give out your information. Shred all your statements, credit offers you receive in the mail. Just don't throw them away in the trash unopened. Open them up, shred them. A decent shredder costs, you know, 30, 40, 50 bucks. You can get really expensive ones. You may not know your identity has been stolen until you receive a bill with charges that are not yours. Yippee. In 2021, and you got to be careful because this data is all over the map. You know, you have to be careful. But I found one from the AARP, right, the old folks group, that said there were 42 million thefts in 2021, over $1,500 per victim, $52 billion. So if you can find better statistics or you... if you can validate these numbers, that would be cool because I don't know. There's a lot of wiggle room depending on who you talk to. But still, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You should protect yourself. Once you know, take three actions. Immediately contact the bureaus. Now, you really only have to contact one because they all talk to one another, but you should contact all three, the fraud departments. Contact the creditors for any accounts that have been tampered with and file a police report. Why? We're going to see on the next slide why you're going to file a police report. There's a nonprofit organization, which is actually pretty good. You know, I think their website's pretty good anyway. I haven't used them. Identity Theft Resource Center. Check out their resources. So why? Why do they want you to file a police report? Look at the sources of identity theft. The third one. I can't count. Friends and family members. Yeah. Yeah, somebody you gave because he did jerk. I mean, the friend of yours needed new tires or whatever for his car. He was in trouble. He said, "Can I use your credit card?" And then went to Las Vegas with it. Oh, boy. So if you say, "Hey, I didn't make that charge. I didn't make that charge." The credit card company's going to say, well, the bank or the credit union's going to say, "Okay, fine. File a police report." And then you're going to have to say, "Who took the darn thing? It was my friend or my family member." So be careful. But notice that much of them are out of our hands. Security breaches as businesses, right? Insiders giving information to their friends and, you know, outside and using your data. People just losing their wallets. stolen mail. Check your mail. You know, a locked box is best. And people think it's, you know, scams and attacks targeting people on their home computers, but that's actually only 9%. Most of it is people just losing their data and also security breaches. Now, there are all these credit protection businesses that will charge you $10, $20, $30 a month to help protect and ensure your identity. But virtually all the services that can be done from them can be done by you for free, right? And so here are some of the, by the way, I always think about paying for protection. Makes you feel as you're dealing with organized crime. Ooh, I didn't want anything horrible to happen to you. Why don't you pay for protection? Sounds like a ex-president we're having. Anyway, here are the main ways for you to protect yourself. Freezing your credit. Now, this is the nuclear option, so to speak. It basically says, don't open up any credit lines for me. So if you freeze your credit, and by the way, it's free in California if you've been targeted. Otherwise, they're going to charge you $10, and you got to do it three times at the three different credit bureaus. You're going to not be able to open up any lines of credit. So some of the companies will allow you to freeze your credit and unfreeze your credit as often as possible. Well, they don't think you're going to do it every month. So they're going to charge you $10 a month, and they're going to hopefully make money for them. For you, you get screwed. This is the only option you want if you have been targeted or you really, I don't need any more credit, I'm fine, freeze it, no big deal. The fraud alert is not as potent. And again, if you've been targeted, it's free. There's a time limit though, whereas freezing your credit, it stays frozen. 90 days up to 7 years, but most people do the 90-day thing. Hey, I think somebody is trying to take my identity. Just make sure it's not frozen, but they're going to tell the lenders, hey, somebody, this person thinks that they're being attacked. So please make sure you find out who they are and that they're really the person who is trying to open up the account. And then there are other options where they analyze your transaction data. Mission Federal will sometimes send me a text saying, is that you trying to buy that? Yeah, it's me. Thank you very much. Consumer Reports, which is a pretty good organization. They do some strange things sometimes, in my humble opinions, but they're very good at keeping track of information about cars, as we'll see when we get to Chapter 6. They take a very dim view of the value of these fee-based services, so check out their article. Again, anything that they're going to do for you, you can do for yourself for free, or maybe you have to pay for the if you really want to freeze your credit. So what are creditors looking for? They look for 5 C's, character, capacity, capital, collateral, and economic conditions. Well, the economic conditions are out of your hands. Do you pay your bills on time? Do you pay your bills on time? That's the important thing, right? They see that you've been paying your bills. Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Can you repay the loan? What are your assets? What's your net worth? And what collateral? Well, again, that's not too much. They don't usually care about that for credit cards, unsecured loans, but that's for more mortgages and car loans and furniture stuff. Who gets credit? Who doesn't? Well, the industry lurches from one extreme to another. At one time or another, anybody who can fog a mirror, are they breathing? Ah, it's a good sign. They get credit. And that's obviously, you know, too extreme. And then they lurch the other way. You know, you have to be superhuman and have tremendous assets and basically not need the loan to get the loan. I wish they could find a golden mean somewhere, but I guess it's not easy. Get in the industry and do a better job. We need you. Yes. Anyway, what if you're denied credit? Well, ask the creditor to clarify the specific reason for the denial of the credit. Check your credit report. Remember, if you're denied credit, it's free. Apply to another creditor with different standards. Take steps to improve your credit worthiness, which means pay your bills on time. But if it were a situation such as medical is just one of the worst ways for people to get in trouble with their credit. You can put a little 100-word blurb in the file saying, you know, look, I was making my payments and then I was out of work for 3 months maybe I had Achilles heel problem. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get out of bed. So notice that my payments were missing those 3 months, but I'm back at work. I'm making my payments. Hey, give me a break. And doesn't mean they're going to say, okay, but it's typical. It's very, very typical. So check that part out. The majority of credit applications now are done electronically. Bingo, the computer does it. If your FICO score is below approximately 600, the application is supposed to be reviewed by a human, but in practice, no, that doesn't usually happen. They usually reject you. Credit unions are notorious for this. Or they automatically send your application to their subprime department. Now, that doesn't sound very good, does it? No, subprime? No, that means they're going to charge you an outrageous amount of interest. One account in default can put your score in the low 500s. So that's why you want to make your payments on time. The moral, check your credit files before you apply credit. If there's erroneous data, get rid of it. But, you know, if you have missed payments, it's going to be how many years? 7 years, right. Now, what if you're denied credit? Don't fall. We will repair your credit, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Anything legitimate these people can do for you, you can do for yourself for free. If they recommend anything illegitimate, it's either illegal or it's just not going to work. Okay, so I don't want to go into the unscrupulous people who do these things, but they recommend that you do things that are basically fraud. You know, so don't do that. Don't use your child's social security number, even if they have the same name. It's not legal. So don't fall for that. You can do everything for free on your own. There are services that will help you that we'll see in just a bit. Let's look at some credit card applications. Well, now this is what we do in the face-to-face class. So there's a separate presentation that you're going to look at for the credit card applications. You'll see that there are a lot of gotchas, folks. Be careful. Now, once again, how long can adverse data, late payments, charge-offs, judgments be reported on your credit report? How many years? 7. The correct answer is C. And how long can a bankruptcy be reported on your credit report? 10 years. Don't forget these two numbers, 7 and 10. Don't get them wrong on the exam. It's bad for my self-esteem. Thank you very much. Okay, now, avoiding and correcting credit mistakes. The Fair Credit Billing Act says that you should notify the creditor within 60 days. Make sure now they can do it electronically, but they want you to make a letter and keep that copy of that letter. They've got to respond within 30 days, and they have 90 days to resolve the problem or tell you why they think the bill is correct. And it's not supposed to affect your credit rating while in dispute. Here is what some people have told me. Students, you know, they come up and tell me things. Sometimes they do it in class, sometimes they do it afterwards. They said that they didn't make a payment, and it was on their credit report. And they put a letter, made it look fancy and everything, saying, I made that payment. And the company, I guess, just didn't want to bother to go look it up and took it off. Now, that's not ethical. It's certainly not illegal. You're not doing it under oath, so you're not going to you're not going to get perjured, but it's certainly not something you want to do. But I don't make a judgment. I just tell you that's what some people told me. Well, actually, one student told me that. You can withhold payment on shoddy goods if you have paid for them with a credit card. This, people have told me, is true. And I was really lucky at one time using my credit card to rent a car. And I showed the representative the insurance that I was given if I used my credit card to rent this car. And it was even in Spanish. I was down in Mexico. They had done it in Spanish. And they said, it's good anywhere in the world. And so the guy said, okay, we won't charge you insurance. Well, I got back home, and sure enough, they had charged me insurance. I didn't even bother calling the guy because he was so nice. He was such a sweet guy. Yeah, right, okay. In Mexico, there's a saying, courtesy is more important than honesty. Oof. So I called my credit insurance, a credit company. I contacted them, and boom, they took it off. They were very, very quick and thorough. So I guess that's a good thing, right? Oh, what's the significance of 7 years, right? Charge-offs, late payments, judgments, and 10 years, bankruptcy on your credit report for 10 years. It doesn't mean you're never going to get credit again, folks, but they're going to see it for 10 years. Okay, complaining about consumer credit. First, try to solve the problem directly with the creditor. If that doesn't work, there are more formal complaint procedures. There are a variety of consumer credit protection laws and federal agencies who administer and assist with complaint procedures. First, check out the Federal Trade Commission, ftc.gov/credit. But in reality, given this vast number of transactions every single day, it's amazing that the system works as well as it does. Equal credit opportunity. Well, you know what this one's supposed to do. Some of us are more equal than others. Now, it's a football politically now. You're not allowed to say that discrimination still exists anymore in some areas. BS, that's not true. One gentleman just recently had his house appraised. He was of African descent. And then he had a friend of his act as if he were the owner, and the house was appraised for several hundred thousand dollars more, $400,000 to $700,000. So it's there. But don't give up. Never give up. Somebody out there wants to lend to you, because in these situations, green is the most important color. And after you've established yourself as a good credit risk, the others will come calling, and you can tell them to kiss off. We had one student who told me 26 lenders they went to buy a house. And the 27th one gave them the loan. So don't give up. Never give up, dear students. We're so proud of you. And we will be when you tell them to kiss off. Okay. If you can't make a... Oh, we're having problems. What if you can't make a payment? Contact them. Yeah, they hate it when you just disappear. They hate it when you just don't make a payment. If you say, I'm going to miss a payment, or I'm going to send you 10 bucks, whatever, I'm going to get it right. Don't worry. The debt collection practices require that if a debt collector calls you within 5 days, they must send you a written notice of amount owed. And you can dispute the amount. They have 30 days to verify the debt. Now, what you can do is write a letter, keep a copy, stating all further contact should be via the U.S. Postal Service. Because they're going to try to call you. They're going to try to weasel the money out of you as best they can. They're not supposed to be abusive or threatened. They're not supposed to call you at work, tell your friends, tell your boss, call you at odd hours. There are set procedures that are outlined by the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. That doesn't mean people don't abuse them. They do. And it might be that you might need a lawyer to get them off your hands. Because if you send the letter saying everything's by U.S. mail and they don't do it, then I'm not sure of the penalties, but I think they're pretty severe. And interestingly enough, this act does not apply to creditors that try and collect the debt themselves. So if JCPenney charges off your debt and sells it to somebody else, it's those people that applies to. It doesn't apply to JCPenney's. So I guess the problems was not with the banks and the credit unions and the stores and the like that were initiating the credit. It was the problem with the debt collectors who bought the debt for pennies on the dollar and then try their best to hound it out of you. So you have rights. Now, this has nothing to do. We're on slide 56. It's a little tricky here. This debt statute of limitations has nothing to do with the 7 and the 10 years that we talked about. So just put that out of your head for now, because this can be confusing. Every state has a statute of limitations on how long a person can be sued for the debt. It doesn't mean the debt goes away, but in California, that's 4 years. And look it up, every state's a little different. In fact, there's a little link at the bottom. The debt is not erased. Okay, they simply cannot sue you. If they come after you and they try to take you to a small claims court or whatever, you just say, no, the debt is time barred. I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly, but it's up to you to tell the court, no, this debt is time barred. Now, here's the weird part. If you pay any part of the debt, if you acknowledge the debt is yours, the statute of limitations starts over again. The clock starts all over again. Figure that one out. I haven't figured it out. Now, this has nothing to do with the 7 and the 10 years. So am I saying after 4 years, you're in the free, you don't have to pay it? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying they can't sue you for it anymore. You decide what you want to do. Obviously, you made a debt, unless it was egregious, and we'll just talk about egregious, and we'll talk about people who are really trouble and really do need to go through bankruptcy in a few slides. But this is something that you just should be aware of, and pay your debts. Better yet, make love, not loan. Okay, finally, we're in trouble. There are people out there who want to help you. There are non-profit organizations, credit counseling services, the National Foundation for Consumer Credit, Consumer Credit Counseling Service, American Debt Counseling. These are non-profits. How do they make their money? They typically charge you a small fee for services, but in reality, the credit card companies are paying for their operation. Now, why would the credit card companies pay for these non-profits to help you with your debt? Because they don't want you to go through bankruptcy. They want you to get back on your feet and keep sucking the blood out of your body. So they'll do pretty much what we do in this class. They're going to help you create a cash flow statement and a net worth statement and create goals to pay down the debt and get back on your feet. So, but one of the things that they do often recommend are the debtors anonymous, okay, I'm spending too much. And these credit cards were just the vehicle that got me in these troubles. If you get rid of the credit cards, I'm still going to have the issue of spending too much. So that's a whole other issue. And, we don't have a 12-step program here at Southwestern, but they're there and they are useful for many people. Many people will tell you they turn their lives around, whether it's alcohol or other types of recreational pharmaceuticals or gambling or debtors anonymous. What are some of the warning signs of debt problems? Well, paying only the minimum balance, increasing the total balance each month, missing alternating payments, getting second and third payment notices, borrowing money to pay payments, not knowing how much you owe, going over your credit limit on credit cards, not talking to your partner about money or only talking about money. Okay, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Bankruptcy. There's a lot of misinformation about bankruptcy. Bankruptcy was designed as a last resort, but has become an acceptable tool of credit management, especially for very unscrupulous people, one of which is our previous president, and another president we had also used it. He used it twice. The previous one used it four times. It's many, especially the credit card companies, complained that the bankruptcy was being abused, and they pushed through legislation in 2005 that made it harder to declare bankruptcy. And then there was a resulting backlash that led some of the recent consumer-friendly changes in the industry. Now, this is a joke by a gentleman by name Joey Adams. You probably never heard of him, but it's a cute joke. Bankruptcy is a legal proceeding in which you put your money in your pants pocket and give your coat to your creditors. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, look, some people abuse the bankruptcy laws. And it's obviously it's true. We know this is true. What they will do is they will hide their assets in one place and then say, okay, here's all my debts and here's all my assets in the other place. Now, this, of course, is legal. And if you do it and get caught, the courts are going to be very, very unpleasant with you. They're not going to be happy with you. But people do it. And so, again, bankruptcy was meant to be a last resort. And so sometimes you need it. Okay, what are some of the situations where you need it? Well, a lawyer, you're going to have to discuss it with a lawyer. But the rule of thumb is when your short-term debts, typically, you know, credit cards, are greater than or equal to your annual income, you're in trouble. You're in deep kimchi. So, and we're not talking about long-term debts, which is, you know, your mortgage and the like. That's a different situation because that's some people use the term good debt. I don't like that. I don't think any debt is good, but you got a house out of it. But if your credit card's debts are greater than your annual income, you really should talk to a lawyer about possible bankruptcy. There are two types of bankruptcy. Chapter 13, which is meant to be a reorganization. Basically, you turn over your finances to somebody else who oversees them and has a plan for you, or you can come up with a plan, but there's a plan for you to get back on your feet. The nuclear option is Chapter 7. $500, no, $1,500. And they're not going to, you know, they're going to expect the money up front. You get to keep some property, and this is the idea of the fresh start. The idea that, you know, not only did this person get in trouble, but the people who lent them the money helped them get in trouble. So there's a lot of blame to go around. You know, they'll try to make you feel horrible if you're the person applying for bankruptcy. But a lot of the problem is just their own greed, and they shouldn't have given you the loan in the first place. They shouldn't have allowed you to get your debts this high to begin with. So that's Chapter 7. And after Chapter 7, typically you don't owe retail store charges like Walmart and JCPenney's. The credit cards are wiped clean, other unsecured loans, hospital, physician bills, and this is what really puts people into bankruptcy is those darn credit cards. Now, I'm sorry, the darn medical bills. Those medical bills, the credit cards, they put the medical bill in the credit card. Then they're in deep trouble. But with bankruptcy, you can't get rid of taxes and fines. You can't get rid of child support, alimony, college loans. Now, this is currently in the news and a big deal because, you know, people were encouraged to take out the student loans. But the student loan, remember we talked about the 7 years and the 10 years and the 4 statute of limitations? No, student loans stay with you forever. And that's why it's in the political football right now. Some people saying we need to get rid of most of this debt for these people. Other people saying, they're the same people who got their PPP loans. but it's an issue. It's definitely an issue. And of course, don't think if you get a DUI, you're going to be able to declare bankruptcy. Because what's a DUI cost? $10,000, $12,000, $15,000? No. So debts arising from illegal activities. So if you go through bankruptcy, you can expect to lose your credit cards, any hospitals. Hospitals, you know, they wanted to be part of the student loan thing. You know, hey, people should pay. Yeah, that's a whole other issue. We'll get to Chapter 9. So should you consult a lawyer, dear students? Only if you believe it is okay not to consult a doctor and instead decide to take out your appendix by yourself. Well, I saw it on TV. You just cut over here and then they stuck it. No. Find a good lawyer. Get a good referral. Folks, there's lots of lawyer jokes. And yes, I know. But before lawyers, how did we deal with these issues? Pistols at dawn. So I'll pay the lawyer the $200, $300, whatever it is, to help me per hour. Yeah. Okay. Uh-oh, on your 10th wedding anniversary, you splurge in a $5,000 second honeymoon, which you charge to your credit card. With an interest rate of 15.9%, how long will it take you to pay back the debt if you make only the 2.2% minimum payment each month? And notice they're pumping it up. You see more 2.4, 2.5% now. 13 years, 19 years, 28 years, or it'll be paid out of your estate when you die. It'll take 28 years to pay off that. If you just made the minimum payments, which is what they want you to do, which is what you don't want to do if you do have any debt. And how much of a finance charge will you pay on those $5,000 in 28 years? Over $7,000. And remember, those are after tax dollars. So $5,000 plus $7,000 is $12,000. Around $20,000 is what it's going to cost you over 28 years, which is why... The new laws say the banks must show you if you only paid the minimum payment, it's going to take you 21 years to pay off this loan of $5,800. See, the minimum payment was $87. That's what they want you to do. But if you simply bumped it up to $195, it'll only take you 3 years and you will only pay $7,000. Under the new law, the credit card companies must now disclose how long it will take you to pay the balance and how much you actually pay if you only made the minimum payments. The hope is that people who have not taken Business 121 will be motivated to pay off their balance quicker. But, of course, all of you already knew that, right? Nod your heads yes, thank you very much. However, often people don't get their statements in the mail, so they might not even read the statement, and it's hopefully that they do. Because obviously this is a much better situation, 21 years versus 3 years. So what's the bottom line on credit? I think you know what I'm going to say. Make love, not loans. Right? I love that saying. Now look. We started with a, very raw, very graphic quote. Let's end with a quote from one of our founding fathers, John Adams, who was the best of friends and enemies with Thomas Jefferson for 50 some odd years. And it's so interesting. They both died on the very same day. Yeah, amazing. All the perplexities, confusion, and distress in America arise not from the defects of the Constitution, not from want of honor or virtue, so much as from downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. So, again, I beg your apologies for being the hellfire, damnation, Baptist Southern preacher, but it is something we want you to avoid. We don't want you to have to go through bankruptcy. We don't want you to be awake at night worrying how you're going to pay your bills. Make love, not loans. But okay, get a credit card, pay it off every month, $30, $50, whatever, pay it off, build your credit, become a loyal member of the benevolent machine. It's the world we live in.